Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hello and welcome to Baseball Barbacast, the only baseball podcast in the world, back from its Brent honeymoon, Jr. I'm Jake Mintz. That's Jordan Schusterman. And for the first time in a couple of weeks, we are here together to talk about the sport we love.
Oh, not just us. Producer Chris is here. We are back. We have not recorded a podcast, all three of us together, in like a month. Jake and I last hopped on these Zoom boxes on December 29th. A lot has happened since then. I don't know about a lot of it because, as you mentioned, I have been on my Brent honeymoon and I'm just happy to be here. I'm excited to podcast. We are going to do once again a one of us reveals to the other what has happened in baseball because I've been super offline. Producer Chris and Jake have both been in Australia. I did not go that far for my honeymoon, but we have all endured some amount of travel trials and tribulations over the last few days. But I'm energized. Even though I've barely slept, I am feeling so good and so excited to be here with you, gentlemen. Producer Chris, hello. Have you missed us? We miss you.
Of course I missed you guys. And I thought when I left for my trip, right, the only thing that was getting me through not being able to produce this show for a month was that I was going to be able to see Jake for New Year's Eve because he was going to come across the world to visit me for 24 hours in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And about 3 hours before that was supposed to happen, I found out it wasn't going to happen.
So I had to cancel. Cancel culture struck.
It did, and I haven't seen or spoken to either of you for a month because of it, so I was particularly sad about that, but particularly happy that I could be back this morning with you guys for another show. It's been too long, fellas. It feels great.
Well, Chris, the good news is that the charisma is up in 2024. New year, new us.
Okay? 100%.
We were too boring in 2023, not enough pizzazz in our morning coffee.
Spice it up, baby.
New year, baby. Let's get hot. And so now what we are going to do is fill Jordan in on everything that happened in baseball while he was gone. Remember, you can email us at baseballbarbacast@gmail.com. We read them all, even the ones that are negative feedback. But constructive criticism is important in this life, let me tell you. Jordan, what day did you leave for your honeymoon?
I left on Thursday afternoon. Me and my lovely wife, Bailey, we traveled to the U.S. Virgin Islands, a couple flights down into the Caribbean. And on Thursday, before I jumped on my flight in Charlotte, North Carolina, that was the second flight, I deleted the Twitter app. I'm still calling it Twitter. I deleted that. I deleted Instagram. I deleted Facebook. Why do I still have Facebook anyway? I deleted the MLB app. All of that was gone. ESPN app, not that they're... talking about baseball. We'll talk about that later. Anywhere, I turned off my Slack notifications. Everything was gone. And this is something that you, I think, have been much better at in the past, just in general, regardless of trip or non-trip. Like, Jake is admittedly better at logging off than I am. But
kids
this was,
these days. Kids these days are on their phones too much, you know?
Yes.
So I hate kids, and so I'm very good at, you know, not looking at my phone.
And so for me, like, I've been trying to get better about that in general, but this was like, you know what? This is great. I have no reason to be looking at this. I'm fully excused. And this is a great opportunity because there's probably going to be some stuff happening during this stretch of January. And it sounds like that is indeed the case.
That is correct. Because the moment, the day after you turned off your phone, the Seattle Mariners had an afternoon and an evening. Jordan, there are three new Seattle Mariners.
Three new Seattle Mariners. Okay. All right. So let me get this out of the way. So I do know about two of them because this was the one move that broke through because I did still have text messages. And
big
so
mistake.
I was
big mistake. Big
okay,
mistake.
Let me push back here because it's so easy for you, Jake Mintz, to throw on Do Not Disturb and let a text message fall into the wasteland that is your messages app, which has over 100 unread texts. Just like, oh, what's another text? What's that number at right now you're showing me?
491 unread okay. text messages.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. I am a bad person. And you're not.
This isn't a judgment call or anything. I'm just saying that I knew you were going to say this. And it is definitely... And in theory, I could have, right? But I decided, you know what? Listen, I know it's risky from a specifically Mariners perspective because those are the moves I am likely to get texts about. And indeed... The sequence of this was very funny because Friday, just full day on the beach, we're chilling, enjoying the lovely, you know, blue ocean here. And I left my phone in the room and I go back up and I have a text from Adam Jude, the Seattle Times. Love Adam Jude. Adam's great because I've become friends with him because he's like a nice, cool, regular person who's not as grumpy as Ryan Divish. So it's a really nice counterbalance.
Right.
I love Adam. Adam, great. And Adam texted me the following. It said, M's about to blank your honeymoon. Okay. So he like left a blank. So he basically left it into interpretation to where I was like, oh, is he about to, are they about to ruin it? Are they about to like make it even more exciting because they, you know, you traded for Otani? Like, okay. Like what's going on here? Right. And then shortly after I got another text from another Mariners adjacent person that basically spoiled the trade, which is that to my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Robbie Ray to the Giants for Mitch Haniger and Anthony DeSclafani. This is the one move that broke through. The only thing I know about. Maybe it is the biggest thing that happened over the last 5 days. But this is a move. But that's two new Mariners, Anthony DeSclafani and Mitch Haniger. So I do not know about a third. Should we talk about the third before we talk about this move? Because this is the move that I've been ruminating on without actually looking anything up over the last 5 days.
Let's talk about this move first. The other move is it's not as big. It's notable and it will change the 2024 Mariners, but okay. I want to just latch on to
yes.
Mitch Haniger, who is yes. a top 10, top five, even beloved Mariner of the last decade.
Sure. Yeah.
Returning absolutely. To teal and navy after yes. 1 year in the desert with the San Francisco Giants. Are you excited about this?
Yeah, so it's really weird because the first I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like Mitch Haniger is back. Like he's the guy. Of course, everybody loves Mitch, right? But I was also the person that a year ago when the team traded for Teoscar Hernandez and some people were like, oh, like there's no difference between him and Mitch. Like this isn't an upgrade. And I was like, listen, I love and respect and admire and appreciate everything that Mitch Haniger is about. But Teoscar Hernandez, at the very least, will play 150-plus baseball games. In fact, I think he played 161, right? And I was like, this is an upgrade because I know that Teoscar is going to play. And even if the skill set is similar, like, this is an upgrade. I love Mitch, but that's fine. If they want to let him go to San Francisco, God bless. NorCal guy. Have fun with the Giants, Mitch Haniger. And what ended up happening in 2023 was pretty much exactly that. And you can complain about Teoscar Hernandez, but he played, and Mitch Haniger did not. He was injured, and when he was playing, if I recall correctly, he was bad.
Very bad.
He played, what, 50 games, if that?
He played 61 games. Okay. He had a 73 OPS plus. Right. He was worth negative 0.3 wins above replacement.
Exactly. And so while I didn't think that he was suddenly a 71 OPS plus true talent player, I felt somewhat vindicated. I wasn't like good riddance, but I was like, you know what? That's fine. They probably made the right call on that, right? So for them to turn around and bring him back with like still some significant money owed, although we know they're unloading a bunch with Robbie Ray, I was like, this is a fascinating move. I'm excited to root for him again. But if he's like your plan to like your what to treat him like this middle of the order guy again seems foolish at the very least. So I guess I'm excited for him to be back on the team, but I'm concerned if he is like a very important part of their offense moving forward.
Mitch Haniger is a good player when healthy. He is not exactly someone you can rely upon.
No.
And that's okay. As long as you know that and you build the rest of your roster to take that into account. Jordan, the other move.
Okay.
For the Seattle Mariners was a 1-for-1 trade.
Oh, I love one for ones are delicious, right?
Okay.
We've had a few of them already this winter, and they're just so great. Trades are great. Okay. And Trey, here we go. I'm gonna have to update my DePoto spreadsheet as soon as we're done here.
Jose Caballero.
Jose Caballero gone?
Out the door to Tampa Bay straight up for Luke Raley.
Wow. Jose Caballero getting the boot. Okay. Luke Raley. Luke Raley, Ohio's own Division II icon, Luke Raley.
Luke Raley. Who was unbelievable in for the like first 2 months. Half and then pretty bad.
Pretty bad. That. Okay. Right. So, wow. Okay. Again, I'm processing all this in real time. That is not just a one-for-one of essentially, not opposite players, but in a lot of ways, opposite players. The Rays getting Jose Caballero makes all the sense in the world. I mean, that's like, that's 100%, right? He's as Rays as it gets. And credit to the Mariners and credit to him. By the way, one of my favorite conversations I had all season last year was just chopping it up with Jose Caballero when the Mariners were in Cincinnati, talking to him for like 25 minutes about his path from Panama to becoming a division or to becoming a junior college national champion, like one of the best players in junior college. And then he had a lot of injuries in the minor leagues, worked his way up. Really fun player, great defender at multiple spots. Can't really hit that much, but he can piss people off. He gets on base, hit by pitches, you know, works the count, steals some bags, good defense, all very raised things. But Luke Raley, this is a pretty big bet that he's like, I don't know, I assume he has what, 4 or 5 years of team control, 3 or at least years of team control left. To be Luke Raley's weird because he was like playing some center, even though we wouldn't think that he could play that. Like he's definitely shown flashes of an impact player. Does that translate to the Seattle Mariners? I'm worried, but I am kind of into it.
The Mariners needed another left-handed bat in the outfield, was probably the impetus behind this deal. He's going to slot into left. He'll be more or less the everyday left fielder, right, with Julio in center and Haniger in right.
Oh, well, that's the thing. Haniger everyday in right. Oh, God. And I think the left-handed thing as much as just like they need someone that offensively has shown more in the major leagues than Cade Marlowe and Dom Canzone, right? So still left-handed, which is not a bad thing. But obviously, you're trying to replace Kelnick in some form. So, okay, interesting. All right. I'm scared to look at how I'm going to do all the look at the number. Again, I haven't opened Baseball Reference depth charts, anything for days. I'm curious how bad he was. I definitely don't remember him being very good in the second half, but we can figure those details out later.
So that's the Seattle Mariners. We started with that just because you like the Mariners. Yeah. But that was not the biggest move that happened while you were gone.
Can I, before we move to the biggest, I mean, Robbie Ray here. Can we just talk about Robbie Ray here for a second? Sure. I mean, he was, they gave him $150 million. He was like okay to underwhelming in his first year. It ends in disaster at the hands of Yordan Alvarez. Also entirely not Robbie Ray's fault. Like absurd, one of the most absurd just playoff sequences we've ever seen.
Yordan Alvarez hit Robbie Ray off the Seattle off Mariners. Right. Swing.
Yeah. But if you weren't following the team that closely, I can understand if you missed it. He basically showed up in spring training like pissed off. Like I am like we're getting things back on track, right?
Great.
Best shape of your life. He was throwing 95 in like February. Like his first spring training start, he was like a higher average fastball velo than anything he'd done the year before. And then he just blew out like basically three innings.
Could it be because maybe he was throwing harder in spring training than he ever had before?
It is weird though, because for all of Robbie Ray's roller coaster career, he's been pretty healthy. Like that was not the issue with Robbie Ray. Like he was always on the mound. But
so now he'll go to the Giants, who are trying to kind of backdoor their way into a frontline starter.
Well, and as we transition here, like I'm super curious. Now we open it up to what else has happened, because I don't know anything else. But the only thing that I think has happened is that Imanaga must have signed, just because his posting window I know ends tomorrow. So. Correct. In that sense, I know he signed, but I don't know where. But I was thinking about the Giants when I saw they got Robbie Ray. It's like, okay, but like they still need to get someone who can pitch on opening day, probably.
So the San Francisco Giants. All right. That is the only thing that they did while you were away. They did not get shown to Imanaga. Okay, that was it.
Imanaga. Okay, that was their only move. The Giants are off the board. All right, I will stop thinking about them now.
Last night, Imanaga did sign last night, reportedly, allegedly.
Okay. Okay. Is that the next biggest move, or we'll get to
that? That is the biggest move while you were gone. Imanaga to the Cubs.
To the Cubs. Okay.
contract details are complicated. Both, I think Heyman and I think Bowden both use the word complicated to describe the contract details. JP Morosi, who I guess we're trusting again.
It's been a rocky winter for
relationship. For John Paul. Yeah. For John. Yeah. I would say Morosi said 15 mil a year.
Okay.
There are escalators, according to Bowden and Heyman, that take it up to like 80. It's not clear what the money is yet, but it
but
does
80.
Seem,
we're not into like 100.
No. So the reporting seems to be that he took less money to go to the Cubs.
Ooh.
That there were bigger contracts out there for him, but he wanted to be a Cub, or he liked the Cubs situation.
All right.
Imanaga, Cubs. Gives them one of the most fascinating funky town rotations.
Yes.
Which is Steel, Wicks, Imanaga, Hendricks, Tyon.
Oh man, yeah. Not a lot of cheese in there. Not a lot of high heat coming in from we need Cade Horton to get there sooner rather than later. Also, the first Cubs move at all.
This is from John Heyman. There was at least one team that was willing to, quote, more than double the guarantee that Imanaga agreed to with the Cubs.
What? Wow. Okay. All right. And he's like, nope, sorry. That's wild. Good for Imanaga. I don't know if he was also Wasserman. I know he wasn't Boris, but interesting timing here. And we knew that, like, as the rest of the starting pitching market was moving, not moving, we had Giolito, we had the Chris Sale trade, right? That was all before, I left and stuff. But Imanaga had this deadline. He had to sign before January 11th.
This is from Heyman last night. Imanaga deal is complicated. Why you got to be so complicated? Includes player team options and escalators that could boost it to 80 mil. Guarantee suggested to be somewhere around 30 for two, which feels
so it's
crazy,
like
crazy low.
Yeah.
Compared to
and
where
I guess
the projection before the winter was kind of like 460-ish.
Or it got a higher, as we saw, like,
Yeah, but once we saw the market develop and Seth Lugo was, like, getting to feed his great-great-grandchildren, like, we assumed that Imanaga, who has incredible stuff and led NPB in strikeouts last year, was going to get, around $100 million. And that does not seem to be the case. So there's going to be more reporting with this. Very interesting. There's another shoe that has to drop here.
Yeah.
But Imanaga to the Cubs happened last night.
Good for the Cubs. Definitely finally. I know Cubs fans were really, really going through it. I did want to kind of touch on them a little bit more last week when I recorded with Ben Nicholson-Smith. We kind of ran out of time just because there are a lot of anxious fan bases waiting to see more moves. But the Cubs had literally, I believe they were the only team left to not like add a new player to their 40-man roster. Not even like a big free agent. Like it just they were going, as slow as can be. So to get Imanaga with this creative deal is fascinating. He's like 30, right? So he's not like that old or that young. It's not like a Yamamoto situation. But I'm fascinated by him. I know you were really digging into him pretty close, leading up to him finally signing. So good for the Cubs getting one done. But I agree, that is a strange rotation, and I'm still more worried about their offense, I think.
The upside with Imanaga is it's a special fastball, really low slot, a lot of ride on it, more vertical break than every other pitcher in baseball last year, except for Felix Bautista and Colin Poche. So it would have been like kind of the third righty.
Poche is also a good comp in terms of like a left-hander that doesn't throw that hard. But it's just kind of a magic fastball. But I mean, we know Imanaga's issue is just so many home runs, right?
Right.
He just allowed so many fly balls in an NPB. It's hard to give up a lot of homers in that league. And he was doing it. So we'll see how that translates to Wrigley Field, I guess.
Yep. Other move, Jordan. Okay. I'd say this is the next biggest move. Big one-year deal for someone whose name you already mentioned here on this podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Teoscar Hernandez.
Teoscar Hernandez got a one-year deal.
Teoscar Hernandez, one year.
Dodgers?
$23.5 million with the Los Angeles Dodgers, yes.
Wow. Oh, my God. So that's pushing where Dodgers' payroll is pretty awesome. Shouts out to Teoscar's agent.
Jordan
Afanievis for securing the bag there. Now,
Jordan?
this is interesting.
Give me a second.
Yeah.
There's another piece of information here.
Oh.
This might not shock you. Only $15 million of that salary will be paid to Hernandez this year, with the rest paid out in installments between 2030 and 2039. Defer.
Yo, let me see how this shit works. Let's do this. Let's do it. Now that does also make sense in the context of him specifically, right? Because it's like Teoscar at 15 for a year makes a lot more sense than Teoscar at 23 for a year. 23 far beyond, you know, the qualifying offer that the Mariners chose not to give him because they were scared he was going to take it, right? So they'd say, oh, let him go, that's fine. But people assumed that's because they're like, oh, well, either way, they thought it was stupid they didn't offer him because he'll probably get 3 years, 45 or whatever, something closer to what Gurriel got, right? Instead, he's like, let's just get a big bag to hit sixth, seventh for the Dodgers.
Ninth?
And it have some better numbers. Not the Dodger Stadium is like an amazing hitter's park, but still better than Seattle. I mean, it was brutal for him. His home road splits in Seattle were terrible. Worst possible place to get traded to before you're into free agency. But the Dodgers it's probably a pretty fun place to go mash and with zero pressure whatsoever.
Also, I think him just being in the same locker room as Max Muncy is going to improve his swing decisions right away. Like,
that's
no
true.
Work. Just the
if
presence.
There is. Because that was the other issue, is like Teoscar already has some pretty flagrant plate discipline issues, and they just got it even worse last year. If they can tone it in just a little bit, you know, he's going back to the Toronto version. I mean, that match was not surprising whatsoever. That is a very interesting contract, though. So good for Teo. I do still like him.
I mean, that's a ton of money.
Yeah.
For 1 year, I understand it's deferred. But if you look at like the highest AAVs in baseball.
Yeah.
Right. Highest average annual value. Like that's freaking up there. Like that's above like Jose Ramirez. It's
sure.
above like Alex Bregman. It's
sure.
above.
It's up there. And then whatever 1 year deals are going to be higher. But for a hitter too, we're so used to seeing the 1 year deals for pitchers even more. So we see it sometimes with hitters. But that is, yeah, I mean, deferments or not, like that's a pretty serious commitment there, and that it's a good match. Like they, so now I guess he's just the left fielder, right? Yep. Or the right field, yeah.
Left fielder. The right fielder will be Hayward and Manuel Margot.
Oh, right, platooning. Right. Okay. So that makes sense. We're really heading the Chris Taylor era is slowly the sunset is coming down here on the Chris Taylor, which makes sense. He's not been a very good hitter recently, but all right, good for Teo, good for Rafa. That's cool.
The New York Mets stay shrewd.
Oh, what kind of savvy move did Damon Stearns do next? I watched the movie Dumb Money on the plane.
I also watched the movie Dumb Money on the plane.
Okay, I watched the first 15 minutes of Dumb Money and then had to take care of my daughter because she was getting really restless.
All right, great. So you know why I'm bringing this up. Some people listening to this have never heard of Dumb Money. Like, wow, why? Like, did Jordan just get distracted in an extremely bizarre way? No, I'm mentioning it because Steve Cohen is in it, and I'm not going to say.
No. Steve Cohen is not in it.
Steve Cohen is portrayed.
Is portrayed in it. Yes. Okay, that's a big difference.
It is a big difference. That also, I mean, that is. Pete Davidson's character is one of the funniest characters I've seen in a long time.
I thought that movie was pretty good.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But anyway, there is a portrayal of Steve Cohen, which includes multiple shots of him wearing a Mets hat. So I was, you know, that was my Mets experience during my honeymoon was Steve Cohen being portrayed in Dumb Money. But what did they guys? I assume if you're saying it's shrewd, it probably was more David Stearns than Steve Cohen.
Oh, yeah. But it's the combination of the two because they gave Harrison Bader $10.5 million and a $1 million signing bonus to play for them. 1 year deal, 2024. Harrison Bader.
$10.5 million to do what? Is Brandon Nimmo done playing center field? Like, what is. This is really weird. Like, admittedly. I think we're both pretty low on Harrison Bader. This is the same thing as how I felt when I heard how much Hunter Renfroe got because I watched him and Bader come in to Cincinnati via waivers and both just be absolutely horrible. And it wasn't fair. It was a tiny, tiny sample. There was injuries. Like, it's not fair. But I was just like, They went into free agency. I was like, who the hell is going to want these guys? And both of them getting serious money. What the hell?
I watched a lot of Harrison Bader for the Yankees, yeah. And my takeaway was he just can't hit. Like, no. He just doesn't impact the baseball. I think that the Mets are, the money is irrelevant, right?
I know that. I know.
And they're just, they're hoping to get Nimmo off his feet a little bit, push him to a corner more often, mix in Bader more. Bader has a couple of hot months and you flip him at the deadline. And I actually kind of like the Mets offseason for that reason is
either
they're going to be better than we think or they're going to be blah and they'll trade everyone for prospects. But that was not the only move that they made. While you were on holiday. I got you, Chris.
Okay. Yeah.
Sean Manaea, 2 years to the New York Mets.
For how? What's that kind? Is that multiple years?
2 years, $28 million.
That one I like a lot. I think Sean Manaea, it was one of the more undervalued. Shouts at Scott Boras, by the way. There is a Boras move in there. I assume, you know, none of the, clearly you would have told me about one of the other big Boras guys that have signed by now, if that happened. So Manaea's an interesting one. I don't know if that one has an opt-out too, but he was just throwing harder than ever last year. And so is he just right into the rotation, right? Because with the Giants, it was weird. He was kind of bouncing. I know everyone on the Giants that wasn't Logan Webb was bouncing between the rotation and the bullpen, but Manaea in particular. But he was just throwing harder than ever. Now the results weren't amazing at times, but I was in. I'm very in on Manaea. So that one kind of balances out the Bader one for me. I like that a lot.
I've reached a point where with the Mets rotation, it's just how many of my own eyebrows can I raise and go, Senga, Quintana.
Well, Senga's just good.
Senga. Yeah. Sorry, let me rephrase. Senga.
Yeah, there's no question. That's what it was last year. Last year was like, Senga? No. This year, Senga, period. Exclamation point. This dude is awesome.
Jose Quintana, who was hurt all the time, but solid last year.
Sure.
Luis Severino, who, I mean.
We're pulling for him.
If you're trying to get the highest DRA, right? If it's a hot, if it's not like golf, he was great last year. Sean Manaea, who we just talked about, and Adrian Hauser, who's now them. And then I think people are napping on my man, Jose Buto.
Jose Buto. Oh, yes.
And Tylor McGill.
Yeah, Tylor. Tylor has been as confounding as it gets. He's had some stretches where it's like, holy shit.
I think Jose Buto is going to make 27 starts.
Whoa.
You
can get a much lower over-under number than 26 and a half.
Okay,
you think
fine.
20? This is good. This is interesting. Because right now he's probably in the sixth. I mean, I will say, though, that like them signing these guys is basically them saying we don't believe in Jose Buto.
No, they believe in Jose Buto, dude. Everyone believes in Jose Buto.
All right, well, then now I do too. You've sold me. Great.
So, yeah. Okay. Sean Manaea.
I think that's good. That one balances out the Bader one. The Bader one is bizarre. Also reminds me that, like, what is going on with Starling Marte? What are we expecting from him? But again, like, we don't know what the Mets are expecting of themselves. So it's hard to really know exactly. I think the funny thing about the Mets, though, is just understand. I know it's all Monopoly money to Steve Cohen, as is made very clear in the film Dumb Money. Their payroll is still hilarious. It's like it's for a team that is maybe like trying to be okay. It's beyond anything. It's still like historically hot, which is very funny.
Those are all the major moves.
Okay.
I will just run through a couple of other minor ones, if you don't mind. Sure. Braves and Chris Sale agreed to a 2-year deal.
That was the last thing I saw. I saw the extension. That was the last thing I saw right before I boarded in Charlotte.
I have come around on this. I think with the price of pitching, getting Chris Sale is totally fine. And like,
and again, we were joking about it at the time, but like, huge for the Braves Foundation. They found a way to get some of Chris Sale's money.
Love that. Love that for them. Other little nuggets. The Rockies were were active a couple days. Dakota Hudson and Jacob Stallings both in the fold.
Okay. Jacob Stallings reuniting with Elias Diaz, both former Pirates. So that's very cute.
Major league deal for both.
For both. Dakota Hudson is that super predictable guy, just total ground ball guy. I mean, getting him off of, you know, same thing that they're going to try to do with Cal Quantrill, and Hudson is in theory a lot better suited for them. So never change Rockies. Sorry to Dakota Hudson's ERA, but it's fine.
The Braves earlier this offseason traded away Nicky Lopez. So they signed Nicky Lopez with a beard, Luis Guillorme, $1.1 million contract to the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, I'm excited to see. How did Mets Twitter react? I mean, he talk about like a fan favorite for someone who didn't do that much, except for when he caught the bat. Remember that? Remember when he caught the bat in spring training? If you've never seen this clip, I don't even remember who was batting, but basically someone just, you know, on a swing, just let go of the bat. It flew towards the Mets dugout, and Guillorme just caught it with one hand. If you've never seen this clip, Chris, I encourage you to look this up, because it is
He's also a fun guy to talk to. One more trade, and then we'll take a quick break. Mm-hmm. This is a fun one. St. Louis Cardinals send Richie Palacios to the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for Andrew Kittredge.
Wow. So they got... So it's one thing for the Rays to trade for Jose Caballero, who, like, he had to prove it to the majors. But, like, Richie Palacios, I love Richie, one of our favorite people. He's bounced around a little bit. Like, the Rays could have jumped in on that sooner, but for him to end up there too, man, the Rays are built. Andrew Kittredge, I have no idea what the status of his elbow / shoulder is, but I guess the Cardinals needed an experienced reliever. But that's weird. I'm trying to think about where Richie fits in to the Rays' plans, but maybe that's good for him. I don't know.
That's it, Jordan.
All right.
That's all I got for you.
I think we can... thank you for recapping. I enjoyed this.
Anytime you ever go on a honeymoon, I got you. Okay. I hope this is your last honeymoon.
Same. That's what I was thinking about, how at some point we were talking about, oh, honeymoon is... It was a good honeymoon. It's like, it should be the good honeymoon, right? Like, it's the honeymoon. It's not, in theory, hopefully, not
for everybody.
No, I know. Some people, you know, have that. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, there's one baseball thing I did want to tell you about from my trip that had nothing to do with anything that actually happened in Major League Baseball. But I'll tell you about that. We'll do a little bit more banter, and we'll be right back here on Baseball Barbecue.
And welcome back to Baseball Barbacast Reunited. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman, producer Chris. We're going to do a little Marcus Stroman chat here in a second. But before we do, Jordan, I just sent you a link to a tweet from the Chicago Cubs, which you can find on Twitter @Cubs. Cubs do one of the best cons, not like a Ponzi scheme type con, but like a convention con. And they announced all the people who will be at CubsCon, which is going to be this weekend. And they announced it in this year with a graphic.
Like Coachella style.
Coachella style graphic that has various layers of names in smaller and smaller sizes, right? If you go to a big, I think for a bachelor party, Jordan, in a couple months, I'm going to a Killers concert.
Oh, okay.
For a friend's bachelor party. Mm-hmm. And he sent the rest of the bill. And it's the smaller the text goes, the less you've heard
exactly of
those people.
And Coachella, again, they had it right. It's very common for concert posters, whatever. Yeah, you know, the bigger font, it's like, okay, that they're telling you this is the most important.
Correct. Now, this Cubs one, I think they just they put Craig Counsell and Jed Hoyer at the top. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
They're at the top. They're the biggest ones. And then I think everything else is random.
I think you're right. Although,
except the second line is Ryan Sandberg, Pat Hughes, and Billy Williams. Pat Hughes is a broadcaster. Ryan Sandberg and Billy Williams are Hall of Famers. The next line is Fergie Jenkins, Hall of Famer. And then probably the three best position players on the 2023 Cubs, Dansby Swanson, Ian Happ, Nico Horner. But then, like, as it goes down, it just gets freaking nuts. Like, Ryan Dempster is on the lowest
row. He's
at row
the bottom,
With Sean Dunstan. Kerry Wood is in the second to last row, which is wild. He's in the same row as Matt Caesar, okay? They abbreviated Giovanni Soto to Gio Soto, I imagine, just to
even squeeze his fit him in.
Yeah, like, and it's really something.
Yeah, seeing like James Triantos, one of their you know top hitting prospects next to Aramis Ramirez is very strange. Yeah, I'm trying to. No, I thought your takeaway was going to be like Craig Counsell is the headliner, which is kind of the story of the offseason.
That is true, and that is a great point. And I think that Jed Hoyer being the other headliner says a lot about the Cubs and Cubs fandom right now, where right. the team is the sum of the parts more than any one dominating baseball player.
Right. They're like I'm right. I'm the
are
boss,
they really
man.
Cubs fan? Like the idea that fans of the Cubs are more excited about the opportunity to hear Jed Hoyer speak than they are like Dansby Swanson or Ian Happ is both kind of warped and very true.
Yes.
And I think that is in some ways the long-term theofication of this particular fan base where, you know, they had Theo Epstein for so long and it was like, how are we going to build the team? It's like, you're good now. Like you're supposed to be good now. Like, I think you could have Ian Happ at the top of this. Craig Counsell at the top, no issue with that.
Yeah, my theory, just looking at this closer, it does seem like certain players are grouped together. Maybe they're on like panels together, but the order is still, like you can sort of see clumps, right? Where you have Matt Shaw and Triantos next to each other. You have like Sutcliffe, Dempster, Ryan Sweeney, Sean Dunstan at the bottom. But they're still, the order is all over the place. But I agree. I think the biggest takeaway is Craig Counsell and Jed Hoyer being the headliners that's been the Cubs.
Keegan Thompson, who's totally fine, in the fifth row and Javier Assad in the seventh row is just despicable. Yeah, Javier Assad is the best pitcher. Mark Leiter Jr. told me he's the best pitcher in baseball.
Javier Assad was awesome. So that is behind Michael Arias. I'm not even sure I know who that is. I think that's a pitching prospect. I know the Cubs have had a lot of pop-up pitching prospects recently, but like, man, that's pretty wild. Tough scenes for Nick Madrigal also down there in the
he's grade. A pop-up pitching prospect. He threw 81 innings last year. He struck out 110 batters in low A and high A.
Okay, so yeah, that I can't explain why he's between Smiley and Javier Assad. That is beyond me.
My last take, don't rank your players.
We have an option for this. Do the first three lines are fine, no edits.
People will get the bit if you just do like big at the front and smaller at the bottom. You don't need to do this. I always find this must be very demeaning for bands when they're playing at a concert. Yeah, and it's
totally.
Like,
but do you think like when you're a band, like you're dreaming of like bigger font size? It's like this tour is gonna take us from a size 6 point font to a size 8.5 font on the next.
That concert. Is true, but I'm sure that there are also certain bands that like want to just hammer the mid-sized font demo. Right, like
oh, that's true. Oh, great point. You don't want to be the biggest font because then the people that you're
you sold out
appealing to, right? Then they're looking down like yeah, I used to like them, but now they're just making pop music.
That's how I feel about Javier Assad, dude.
Yeah, there's a couple. Man, all right, I could go even longer on this Cubs. Anyway, there's another Cubs thing Cubs adjacent thing you wanted to talk about quickly, Marcus Stroman.
This is
interesting because I was going to guess the one move I was just going to guess was going to happen. Because again, not Boris starting pitching market, whatever, was Stroman to the Angels. That was something I was like, I could totally see myself logging back on to see. But is that hasn't happened? But what's going on with Stroman?
This is
very
from
little buzz on him so far. So I'm curious.
This is from Morosi this morning. The Yankees have emerged as the top candidate to sign Marcus Stroman. Source says, I'm told the sides have had productive discussions in recent days. So this is also confusing because there was a report that Marcus Stroman was interested in the Yankees, but that the Yankees were not interested in Marcus Stroman. Did you see this?
Like earlier in the offseason.
Or like a week ago.
Oh, okay. Well, then no, I don't think. I saw that.
Oh, I have to find what it was. But it was basically like You talk and let me find
well,
this.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I kind of identified this early on. I was like, listen, if they're going to need another starter, he makes a lot of sense. Like, you take out all the context of him in New York, which, like, both makes perfect sense that he would want to go there. But then personality-wise, I mean, Stroman is beloved by some. I mean, I don't think he's – he is somewhat divisive personality at times.
Marcus Stroman has informed the Yankees he's seriously interested in signing with them, but the Yankees have declined to make an offer. That was the report from Nightingale on January 7th. Okay.
Okay. All right.
It seems now that they are the favorite to sign him. Stroman as the character is complicated and layered. I think there are things that he is very good at and good for, and there are things that he is the opposite of that. Yeah. I don't want to dig into that now. Once he signs with the Yankees, we can talk more about that. What is true is that he is he indisputably an outgoing personality in a clubhouse that does not have those.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think on the Yankees, like I think in some ways it's a good fit because he's not going to be any bigger, no pun intended, than a lot of the guys on the roster, right? And he, skill set wise, like, is kind of exactly what they need. And I know he had some bizarre injury stuff last year, but I think that would be great. I would give them Yankees plenty of credit if they can get that done. Because I still think Stroman for that team in that role, not, you know, what he started with the Cubs as like the best pitcher on the team. I wouldn't want him to be the best pitcher on the team, but I think he makes a lot of sense there if that does happen.
Jordan, what happened on your honeymoon about baseball? Fill me in.
Well, so again, like, you know, U.S. Virgin Islands, like, it's not like that foreign of a place. Like, there's Americans all over the place. There's all kinds of...
It is America.
It is America, right? There's people wearing baseball hats. You know, I had some taxi drivers wearing Astros hats and Rangers hats, and none of them necessarily were Rangers or Astros fans, but it's like, yeah, it's like, I like seeing some merch is always nice. But what I saw on the beach was what I really wanted to kind of take note of here, which I'm just going to go ahead and send to our group chat with Chris as well. Because this is something that we've seen before, but not necessarily, I think, I haven't seen this in this context in particular. So, you know, sitting on the beach, this was on Monday on St. John. And what do you see there? Well, it was also great because, you know, normally taking photos of strangers is like not great. But when you're on a beautiful beach and you're always, everyone's taking pictures of the beautiful water and the islands, it's like, oh, well, you can get away with this. So Jake, what did I just send you a picture of?
It is a gentleman with his shirt off, which is acceptable because it's a beach, with a tattoo on his back of the Major League Baseball logo. I would say it is about the length of two credit cards.
It's not small. I'd maybe take a slight under on that, but it's not tiny.
It's about the size of an opened wallet.
Yes. Yes.
I guess.
Yes. Thoughts?
Yeah. I love it. Guy loves ball. He doesn't just love ball. Like, you see a lot of baseball tattoos that are baseball.
Right. That's what I liked about this.
This guy is this league.
This league, right. Right. I was like, damn, like, this is this guy. But part of me was like, this guy probably doesn't like college baseball. But maybe he does, right? But it's weird. It made me think like he is a Major League Baseball fan.
What a way to convey that you hate indie ball.
Right, right. Especially now. It's a real statement.
Yeah.
To say, I am on the side of the league. You know, if you're not affiliated with the league, you're not affiliated with me, okay?
Yeah.
I got a couple other thoughts. Show it on my back, my allegiance. I also think that the location of the tattoo is interesting because, you know, a back tattoo, it's like upper right kind of, you know, shoulder.
So, couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
Maybe it's right where you would load your scap. Is where the tattoo is, maybe, which is really important in pitching and in hitting. Maybe it's just a reminder to him to like load the logo.
Totally. Load the logo.
Load the logo. That's one. Second thing is he looks a little bit like Ryan Divish from this angle.
He was older and taller and bigger, but
and happier.
Probably. He was on a beach in on St. John. He probably was happier than Ryan Divish.
And the other thought is just
freezing his ass off in Havre, Montana. Very.
Why do you
scene.
Think this guy has this tattoo? Okay, because
that's why I bring it here to this podcast. Yeah. Okay, I don't. Again, he looked to be like in his 50s. Like, it didn't seem like he got it recently.
Was he on vacation?
I think so. Okay. Here's the. By the way, crazy plot twist. He was on my flight back.
Whoa.
My second flight back, not Whoa! Just my first flight back. Okay, back to and I noticed him.
He
I
was indie bound.
Yes, he was indie bound. Okay, so again, we don't need to say. So I guess the question is like, right? It could just be like 20 years ago. Like he could have loved ball. Like think about it. Maybe he like when baseball was really booming, when it was the number one topic on. So on ESPN all the time, you know, in the 90s.
When it was the first take.
It was the first. He was feeling it. I don't know where. Maybe he's a Cubs guy. Maybe he's, you know, got swept up in Sosa McGuire and was like, I love Major League Baseball so much.
This league. This.
I need this. So I don't know. There's all kinds
I
of
think things. He played in the big leagues.
Wow. Okay.
I think that's a big leaguer.
Wow. Damn. Okay.
Then you said he was tall?
No, he wasn't. He looked like a college baseball coach, you know, in that sense, which he wasn't dressed like at all. That I think moved away from it. Like he was wearing shorts and like not the kind of shoes you would see on a coach.
Maybe he just loves sports and has not yet gotten the other leagues tattooed.
Okay. He's still getting around to that. So again, I would love any other explanations, any sort of additional fan fiction that people want to come up with.
Because
email
Javi
us, baseballbarbercast@gmail.com.
Javi Baez having this tattoo on the back of his neck makes sense because he's Javi Baez.
Yes.
If I would like to know from people the rationale to get a tattoo of the MLB logo if you are not a player.
Yes. If you did not play, right. So we'll throw it to the crowd. You guys let us know. We appreciate the feedback, but I had to obviously share that with you. So anyway, otherwise, that concludes this Brent Honeymoon edition of Baseball Barbacast. Producer Chris, it is so great to see you. Podcaster Jake, it is so great to see you as well. We will be back on Friday. I am excited to log back on and read my Twitter mentions here in a little bit after I go back to sleep. Probably. But this was great. Good to see you guys again. Again, baseballbarbercast@gmail.com, BARBcast. We'll keep that regular schedule going and we will talk to you guys again on Friday. Any final thoughts, Jake or producer Chris? Thank you, producer Chris, for producing.
Thank you, Chris.
It feels good to be back, fellas. I know tired, but we had a good show.
Did you miss producing stuff while you were on vacation? Did you find yourself producing other non-podcast things?
Look, I can honestly say that I did not.
Okay. All right. Well,
I like being on holiday.
On that note, off he goes to edit this podcast. Thank you, Chris. We love you. Jake Mintz, thank you, sir. And we will talk to you guys all again on Friday. Goodbye.
SiriusXM Podcasts.